Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, we have been teaching on possessing our inheritance, And this particular area of it, I'm wrapping up now. I'm beginning to wrap up. Say he's beginning to close. This area is called manifesting the sons of God. Manifesting the sons of God. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, but I'm going to take my time. Because we are in an area right now that if you get it, your days of coming short of your goals are definitely over. And this is really some good things here. So let me read first, starting at Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now this reading that I gave you, and reading from this area of the sons of God, is something that I believe really focuses in on what I think is needful for us as the church to bring to close the things that we are to do before Jesus returns. And I think this, I believe that what I've read is encompassing what needs to happen. Now, I'll show you what I mean. We as a church are responsible for this planet. Now, you may not have figured that out yet, but we are instituting and bringing into manifestation a new government. And it's called the government of the kingdom. And we know that there is authority in the earth. We know that. But the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. According to Joel chapter 2, and I won't go back there, you can look at verse 1 and 2. He is saying that it hasn't been anything like the church before it came and won't be anything like it after it leaves. That this church that he's called are called out ones. The Greek word is ekklesia. And it means called out. It's has the idea of a senate. And you have elected officials that come from each state too, and senators. And they go to a place to make laws or to go to a place to do some government business at a table, at a one union, at a central place. And then they go back to their own districts or own states or whatever have you. Well, as you look at this, we, the church, are like that. That we have been called out by God. And as we've been called out by God, Paul calls us ambassadors. So now we have diplomatic function in wherever we go in this earth. And wherever we are sent in this earth, God expects us to rule it, to bring it under the culture of the government of the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that things are out of line because a Babylonian system or the system of the kingdom of darkness has been ruling. But its rule is over and the earth is under new management. So now Jesus is sending us out. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. If you look up and see people like King Herod and some of those in the New Testament that it talks about during the time of Jesus, you will see that they were kings, but they were not the king. The king or emperor was Caesar. And they were then raised up to a kingly stature or position in the entire empire. They were raised up. And they were raised up. They were once called tetrarchs and so forth. And these are different levels by which they can accomplish to arrive at a level of a king. And that's what they were. And, you know, Pilate and Herod were close by each other and so forth and so on, if you remember that. And that's where you see when Jesus was taken to one of them, Herod, I think. And then, you know, they then took him over to Pilate and so forth. The only reason I'm trying to get you to see that is because that's part of the picture that you build in of this government. And Paul or God uses a natural illustration to show you how spiritual things are functioning. And so now you and I are being sent out. And what we said about that is that comes from that word apostolos, which has to do with an admiral leading ships and going out to colonize a nation or a territory and bring it under the rule of the territory that they came from. And that's when you see Jesus on the boat in Mark chapter 4 and other little boats behind him. So all of this is playing out and giving you pictures. Now, I'm only saying this and I'm covering all of this because you have to change your thinking if you want the power of God to flow through that assignment that God has called you to. That the wrong thinking, in other words, the wrong map, the wrong paradigm won't get you to the right place. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. And then he says over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and he said, and God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female. No. In own image and likeness, and created them. Hold on. Let me just make sure I say it right, because I don't want no letters coming back at me. You didn't say it right. But look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Underline over all the earth. So now you're seeing here that they're calling Jesus, Paul calls him, the last Adam. Now understand, there must be something like the first Adam that he's representing. So here's the last Adam. Now what has happened is we said that Jesus is the head. And we found out in Ephesians that as he was raised up and he was put and seated together at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. That's where he is. And he has dominion as dominion over the, man, I'm telling you, just a minute. I told you it was going to take a little time. Just sit there and hush. And he said he's been put far above, Ephesians 1:21, he's put far above principalities and powers and mights, dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. See, that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you'll see just as quickly as Jesus got something, we got it. So when he was raised from the dead, you were raised. Come on now. When he died on that cross at Calvary, God saw you die. When Jesus defeated the devil, you defeated the devil. When he was seated at the right hand of the Father, it says over here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse what? And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You don't see anybody come to you and say, you know, I saw Pastor Bill Winston's head downtown yesterday. You don't hear nobody saying that, do you? Do you? Okay, now, I have this section here. I got to wait on this group. Okay, my point to you is that they assume that the body is with him. So Jesus here, the scripture describes something that is prophetic, that this is what is actually happening. So right now we can take advantage of that position. But Jesus is going to sit there. And how long is he going to be seated? Until we what? Make his enemies what? Our footstool. That's how long he's going to be sitting down. Now, so it's up to you to put the devil underfoot. Now, he did it legally 2,000 years ago, but you have to do it vitally, that it has to be made a manifestation in this earth. And he is the head, you are the body. So for you to actually get the devil underfoot, no natural man can defeat the devil. So you cannot defeat him out of your flesh. So for you to do that and get God's involvement, you're going to have to work by faith. And for you to do it by faith, you're going to have to leave the senses. And for you to leave the senses, you've got to grow up. Amen. Got it? So as long as you and I are babies, then we cannot be in a position to have the head come up and join the body, and then we'll ever be with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So what we have to do is we now have to work on our part. And our part to work on is that we have to grow up. Say amen to that. We have to grow up. Did you follow that so far? All right. So you're in here to be taught the Word of God. And as you're taught this Word of God, that it's got to be more than a word to you. It's got to be life to you. And that as you go out, you take this Word, meditate this Word, study the Word to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And then you grow up, and now you operate on a level that is superior to the level of any circumstance or consequence or situation in this earth. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, let me just show you one place where you and I have some jurisdiction that perhaps we hadn't taken advantage of that only because we didn't know we weren't grown up. See, maybe some Christians think that this is all a growing I'm ever going to do. I mean, I just got to go through it. And they read this part in Romans chapter 8 about suffering, and they think they're suffering for the Lord by being sick. Well, you're not suffering for the Lord. That's being a fool for the devil. What you got to do is got to realize that God never planned for you to be sick. If Jesus took your sickness, why should he have you laying up in bed sick too? Say amen to that. If Jesus took your poverty, he who was rich became poor that you might become rich. Why should you be in lack? Come on now. But I tell you why people are that way, because they haven't grown up. I'm saying that that's where you get superiority over the forces of the enemy. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. I said I was going to turn you somewhere. Did I say that just now? I didn't say it. Did anybody read my mind? I mean, did you catch it in the spirit? Okay. Hold on. I had something and I had to go back. Let's go. Oh, here's what I want to do. I want to show you an example of that. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but you don't mind, do you? Okay. Let's go to Proverbs. I don't think I'll do this. I think I better come back to this. because this is you got to. I got to build you up for this. I think I better not do that. Oh, just don't go there. All right. Now, go to Galatians 4, please. Galatians 4. All right. Are you there? Come on. Are you there? Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I want to read it out of the Amplified again. Now, what I mean is this, is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and under age, he does not differ from a slave, although he's the master of all the estate. I used an example this morning about the prodigal son. And here's a prodigal son. He goes away. He wants his inheritance from his dad. He asked for it, and his dad gave it to him. And when he gave it to him, son went on a far journey into a far country. And then he soon began to be in want. Okay. Now, then it says no one gave to him. And then they took him and mistreated him. They sent him to feed swine as a job. And he was in lack to the point that he was thinking about eating some of the food that pigs eat. Okay? Bad food. And so then he came to himself. He said, to be a servant in my dad's house is better than this. For even my servants have more than enough. I'm going home. Best decision he'd made all his life. So he went home, and his father saw him coming a long ways off, and he hugged him and kissed him and said, son, he said, my son was lost. He's found. He was dead. He's alive. So then he told his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The best robe. God wants you to have the best. He didn't say, bring the one on sale. No, that's another thing. That's another story. But it said, bring the best robe. So he brought the best robe. And then he put a ring on his finger. Ring happened to be authority. Put shoes on his feet, having to be the shoes that was traded for Ruth and so forth. And this whole thing having to do with land. So he gave him these things. And then he had a party for him. He killed a fatted calf. New covenant. Blood flows. Now, here's a son. He's now in a position of rulership. The other son comes in from the field working with the servants. Now, he's saying, what's going on in there? He said, your father has received your brother safe and sound and has given him a part. He said, what? Now, I'm putting my own words in there now. What? That's First Winston translation. And so what happened? He came and the father went out to entreat him to come in. And he said to his father, wait a minute, help me figure this out. I have worked for you all these years. Now this boy went and I heard that he was out there with prostitutes. Now notice condemnation. See, you can't condemn others unless you're condemned. And so he is picking out all these things that he did in his life. But the Bible says any man or woman who's in Christ becomes what kind of creature? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. See, God not only forgives you, but he forgets it. Isn't that wonderful? You know, folk won't forget. You do something, they'll bring everything up you ever did back to 1952. Okay, but anyway, so what happens now? He said, well, son, come on in. He said, no. He said, I've done all this and you never gave me a fatted calf. You never gave me a party. He said, son, don't you know that all that I had was always yours? Okay. All that the Father has is always yours. It was always yours. But as long as the inheritor is a child or childish and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he's the master of the whole estate. Now let me work that through on another level. Flow. There is an inheritance for us, but it will not be delivered to us beyond our level of growth. And what we said is that the quality of our intake determines the strength of our output. Whatever kind of word you are getting is a reflection of your ability to dominate and subdue this earth and receive your inheritance. The primary agent for preparing us to be revealed or manifested to the world is the Word of God. So it says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just like your flesh needs food, your spirit needs food. And the strength, the quality of food that you're getting will determine the strength of output you're going to operate in. Say amen to that. I have had it such that I could say certain things and people get offended and just walk out. Or, you know, you see it on their faces and they so forth and so on. Now, understand, I didn't think of it. It's in the book. God thought of it. All right, let me take you back to it. Come back to 1 Corinthians, please, and chapter 3. Now, I'm going further today because I have a little bit more time. Amen. Let me know when you get to, where did I tell you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're there, right? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto who? Carnal. Even as unto who? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For where there is among you envying and strife and divisions and cliques and racism, are you not carnal and walk as men? And the Amplified says, walk as what kind of men? Mere men. Now understand, in that configuration, you cannot take the promised land because you don't have enough strength. You don't have enough spiritual development. Now, it's not God's fault. Say amen to that. Because some people say, well, I've just been in the wrong church. Okay, here's what the Bible says. God will pour water on ground that's thirsty. In other words, he will make sure, even if you're in the wrong place, you're going to get some right word from somewhere. That it's got to come in through television. He's got to move you. He's got to do something. But you're going to get the right word. But see, you've got to be hungry for the truth, and you've got to buy it and sell it not. Because the truth, the enemy knows what one of the strategies of the devil is to keep the church carnal.
Now, you got saved, and we went through it. We said there's a natural man, and this natural man is a man or a woman that is born again, but really has not grown up. In other words, a natural man. A natural man is one, oh, my notes. A natural man, just hold on just a minute. Praise God. Just hold on. You know, I'm telling you, man. Did I move my notes or something? All right, I can preach it, but I had some notes for you for that. Just a minute. Yeah. No. What did I do? I don't understand it. There is a paper I have that is missing. Okay. I want to just do it right. Boy, did I put it in here? Yeah, okay, let me take my time now. Mm-hmm. Just a minute. Hey. Here it is right here. No, I tell you what. You can't rush this stuff. You really can't. Now, I understand that I can put together a sermon and I can come up here and preach it for you. But that won't make you grow. What makes you grow is understanding. And to do that, you got to slow down to a classroom level. And that's where I got to go. Okay. All right, a natural man. A natural person is an unsaved person, motivated mainly by demons. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Human reason and sense knowledge becomes that person's way of operating and acting. They're always experimenting. As a matter of fact, life is one big experiment with them. They're always finding out what it ain't to find out what it is. And trial and error and so forth and so on. The Bible says, this is talks about John chapter 8, verse 42, verse 44, that Jesus told some of those religious people, your father is the devil. Even Timothy said something. He said, you have a form of godliness, but denying the power. And I'm saying that this is the natural man. Now, what is happening in that is some of those people are religious, but they're really not born again. Then you got the born again person. Once a born again person comes into being, they're born a baby. Now, that baby has to grow. The baby is, if that baby never develops or never grows up, then that baby can never receive their inheritance. Now, I'm saying that because this is where the enemy wants to keep the church. He couldn't keep you from being saved, but now he's trying to keep the church from growing up, because he knows it's only by getting off your feelings can you control him with faith. Only as long as you're in your feelings, he'll put a ring in your nose and lead you around everywhere he wants to lead you. So you cannot anymore be controlled by feelings and circumstances and so forth. Now, what we did this morning is we read the works of the flesh and what the works of the flesh are. Let's go over to Galatians and chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Let me know when you get to Galatians chapter 5. All right. Look what it says here in verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Am I right about it? Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to be saved, because if you look at Galatians chapter 1, this particular book was written to the brethren, which are at the churches of Galatia. So he's talking to the brethren. So it doesn't mean that you won't be saved, but that's as far as you'll get. You just miss hell when you die, but as far as enjoying the kingdom lifestyle, you can't inherit that because of the works of the flesh. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Now, of course, he goes down there and talks about the fruit of the Spirit next, but I won't cover that because that's in another teaching. Now, as we do this, so what we have to do now is the enemy's thrust is to try to keep us carnal. And one of the ways he tries to keep us carnal is try to get us not really honoring the word. In other words, that we hear the scripture, but we never intend to do this scripture. That it just be another sermon. Oh, didn't pastor preach well today? Well, hold it. When are you going to start doing what I preached back in 99, you know, or whatever have you. Now, I'm saying that because if you see no difference in your life, then you have to look at the fact of, wait a minute, is something slipping here? Because of a tree is known by its fruit. That if this is the fruit that I'm getting in my life, I must have this kind of root in my life. And what you need is some more seed so that you can get that out of your life and actually get into a place where you can control your circumstances and your environment. Now you're going to move to the spiritual man. Now, this is what I want to talk about today. Because a spiritual person or man or woman is one that has gained mastery, glory to God, one that has gained mastery over his or her body or the senses. In other words, no longer is your body telling you what to do. Now you're going to start telling your body what to do. And this is a good thing, folks. Now you're bringing your body into subjection and you're keeping it under. Now this is important because you are designed to be led by your spirit. Let's go to that scripture, Proverbs chapter 20, please. Proverbs chapter 20. Are you with me so far here? Whew, man, I'm telling you. You know, sometimes you have to measure yourself. You know, you don't know what, you some people don't even know that certain things exist in the Bible. And because they don't know they exist, they think they're doing all right.
That's right.
So, well, I'm doing fine. I have to pray for my rent every month, but I'm doing fine, praise God. Well, now that is not the best way to live.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The best way to live is to pay your rent for a year. The best way to live is to buy the house. The best way to live is to buy houses. I mean, no. I'm just saying there are some things that I think. See, we're talking about Canaan. We're not talking about Egypt. We're talking about Canaan. Canaan is a lavish place. Those were giants in Canaan. Giant don't have a small bathroom. He can't get in there. Okay, I'll start here. Okay, all right. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 20 and 27. Come on. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, let me just give you that in my own translation. God will use your spirit to guide you. All right. Now, how did he guide Paul? How did he guide Adam? Now, Adam had to name animals, correct? Where did Adam get the names from? He got them from God, and he downloaded them. He downloaded those animals. So now he just, boom, got it from God, boom, and named them. Got it? Now, understand, this is the way God and Adam worked. Because Adam and God were in fellowship. That's the intimate, that word koinonia is an intimate word. It means almost like sexual relations or something. It's an intimate thing. Koinonia, you and God become one. And Adam could hear God just like I can hear you. Or you can hear me now. But you can hear him. I can be up here preaching and God will be talking to me while I'm talking to you. Or teaching. And he'll be telling me something to tell you that I didn't think of in here. Why? I'm hearing God. Let's go to another place. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 1, please. I'm talking about the spiritual man now. And when I'm saying man, I'm talking about I'm not talking about agenda here. Galatians and chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Boy, I am trying to get ahead of this clock, and I am doing it in Jesus' name. All right, look what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, this is Apostle Paul now, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Now, go over then to verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with what? Flesh and blood. So notice what God did with Paul. He took Paul and said, Paul, I'm going to send you to preach the gospel to the heathen. Now, that had to come from God. Because up until that time, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees before that Damascus Road incident. And here, Paul wasn't taking the gospel there. He was taking the gospel to the Jews, or he wasn't taking the gospel to the Jews. He was a terrorist. and so here he was. Now God told him to do something that was a change in the thinking that the Jewish brethren had at that time. Are you following what I'm saying? So he took him there. Now, where did Paul get that from? Where did he get it from? Holy Spirit, okay. He got it from God. What did he say he did with his flesh? He said he didn't check with his flesh or his experiences to find out whether or not this was God. That is called a spiritual man. Now, that person, the devil, can't stop. Now, how many of you right now have been resisted? Meaning that you know you should do something or you feel you've been fought against or whatever have you. I'm only saying this, is that as long as we're down in the carnal realm, as long as we are being governed by the dictates of our flesh, then the enemy can resist us. But the moment we function in the more mature Christian environment or believer, then now the enemy can't. For example, here's Jesus with him on the boat going to the other side. What did Jesus do? He fell asleep. What do they do? They get caught up in a storm. What are they trying to do? Probably trying to dip the water out fast enough. What happened? They figure out that they're about to die. What did they do? They call out to Jesus. Said, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus then got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Now notice, in the natural, they couldn't get over. But in the spiritual man, there's nothing that can overcome you. Listen to me what I'm saying now. You and I are not only going to go into the world and govern it, Jesus, but we're going to redistribute its resources. Let me. Now, I'm not just talking. I'm saying something that's true, okay? So, in this, I got some papers up here, man. I just, I just, my wife always tells me, sweetheart, don't try to preach all of it. I said, no, you mind your own business. I heard from the Lord in this. No, I didn't say that. Don't tell her I said that. That was a joke. Okay. All right. Now, the church, even in Joseph's life, in the inventions, in water and so forth, he downloaded that. I mean, that came from the Spirit of God. I mean, think of all the things that God wants to give us that if we can just grow up. Now, when I say grow up, I mean get into a place where as soon as I say something you don't like, you get mad about it and shut down. And God, he hurt my feelings. Well, get them from out there. Put them in your pocket. You don't need to have them out there. Now, I'm not coming here trying to hurt anybody. My point to you is that these sermons have been so weak that you hear what I'm telling you now. And thank God for people who want to preach. But man, we need some meat now. We need some devil stomping. We need to understand that we're here to take over rulership of this world. We're here to stop Satan in his tracks. Let me run something by you. Y'all got a few more minutes because I have. Oh, Jesus. I'm not sure why my papers are acting like this, man. I'm going to have to get out of here, devil. In the name of Jesus. What happened to the storm when Jesus rebuked it? Turn with me. Over to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. Give me a little more time. Just give me a little more time. Just tell your body, sit down and hush. I got to hear the man of God. You and I are designed for the impossible. And the world is waiting on us. And the enemy has resisted us. And one way is to try to keep us on a milk diet. And I'm telling you, when I first got born again and I was new into things and I went to a meeting to hear Lester Summerall. And I remember, y'all know Lester Summerall, he wants some devils. You better believe it. You know, I said, man, this guy don't have no love, man. I'm getting out of here. He don't have no love. Hey, yes, he did. He had a love for God. And I'm telling you, it was a little firm for me, but I had to grow up. I had to come into those things. And I'm saying, boy, I got so that I was hooked on his teachings. But the same anointing that was on him began to come on me. You follow what I'm saying? Folks, I would call people would call on the phone. I was in Minnesota at that time. And they'd call on the phone. And when they'd call and hook me up with somebody else who couldn't even move their hand. And I'd just speak a few words over the phone. All of a sudden, they'd start crying and throwing the phone down. And the hands start moving and so forth. Because there's no distance in the spirit. You know that, don't you? I'm just saying my dislike and hatred for the devil became just like Lester Summerall's. Now, you don't have to go look him up. You can look me up. Praise God. But let me show you just real quick. Turn to Mark chapter 5, please. And now, showing you how Jesus treated the devil. See, because he did not see the devil as his equal. See, we got to get over the fear that Oh, Satan gonna get you. Hey, wait, get who? What? Get who? Now, I'm saying you got to get into a place where, hey, this man came in church out of breath. Oh, I got the devil on the run. The deacons turn around and says, you do? Yeah, and he's chasing me. Well, that's not the idea. You're supposed to have him when you walk into the room. Demons should operate and act the same with you as they did with Jesus. I'm just see, and we got to get over this thing of our past. You got to put the past behind you because it'll contaminate your faith. Faith and condemnation don't work together. You got to get rid of them. You got to say, oh, wait, there's no condemnation. Father, I ask you to forgive me for looking at that lady yesterday. Just forgive me for it. Now, I'm talking to somebody now. Just forgive me for it in Jesus' name. Boom. Receive that forgiveness. Come on now and go in that room. I'm talking about that you'll have a presence with you. And you can have that, folks. You don't need to try to make yourself be somebody. You can walk in that room and the devil knows you're somebody. Now, I'm saying that because the world is waiting on spiritual authority. The government cannot solve their problems. Folks, the depressed are still depressed. Come on now, the drug dealers are still trying to. Come on, it's time for the church. It's time for people who know their God and will be strong and do exploits. It's time for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's time for a fearless group of people. People who are not even afraid of death. You see, we are suspending death. Isn't that what you said? Death is being suspended over your life. And that's agreeing with Joel chapter 2, that you'll fall on the sword and won't even hurt you. Man, if you know who you are and walk in a boldness and a confidence and fearlessness, then those angels are set up a wall around you. They set up a wall around you. I'm telling you the truth. I have seen it. I have been in that pulpit when we were over in the shade room, and I said something, and I knew it came out of the spirit, and I came against that spirit that was in there, and I felt it. It was like something just, I could almost hear it. It sounded like something like what did it sound like? It just said, just like that. And I felt it. It was all around me. And I'm saying that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Not fear man, fear God. Have a reverent respect for him, his word. God loves justice. And if you go for justice, he'll deliver you every time. I'm saying it's because of what we've been feeding on, man. This stuff has been weak and so forth. I was going to show you. I don't think I have enough time now. But I'll show you how God, praise God. See, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. But understand, God will bind what you bind. So you're not waiting on him, because the heart of the king, whoever's in the house, whoever's in the Senate, who's ever in the wherever, their heart is in his hand. How do I know that? Because he said it. And he will turn it whichever way he will. But you are the one that's got to make the request. Boy, y'all, come on now. That's why the scriptures tell you to pray for all that are in authority. Why? So that you will lead a quiet and peaceable life. Folks, this is so powerful. The church is so powerful. Now you look the way Jesus and the devil reacted to Jesus. And didn't Jesus said the things that I do, shall you do also? Say amen to that. So I'm expecting the devil to act with me the same way he acted with Jesus. I'm expecting the storm to obey me the same way it obeyed Jesus. I'm expecting leprosy to obey me the same way it did Jesus. I'm expecting, come on now. Now I can't fear, because the moment I fear, it contaminates my faith. Because I'm going to find out I'm not the one that's going to have to do it. I'm the one that's going to have to believe that he won't do it. Is this making sense to you? Now, this is your time, but don't try to feel anything, because you're a lot bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And you've got to operate according to the inside. You've got to manifest the Son of God. And I know people talk about love, cast out fear and all that. That's fine. But the way that I'm teaching you to get rid of fear is get the presence of the Lord. Say amen to this. Now, let me just show you that and we're out of here. And then we'll show you Mark 5 when we're out. Look what it says in, put something at Mark 5 and turn with me to Psalm chapter 23, please. Psalm chapter 23. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Y'all with me? Y'all flowing with me? Folks, this is what we need. We need a fresh injection of the meat of the Word of God. And you got to chew meat. You can't swallow meat whole. You got to take what I said and go home and listen. And that little part right there, you spin that back and listen to that one more. Spin it back and listen to it. A lady came up to me in one of the services and she said, yes, I took your tape and took it to my pastor and so forth in another state. I said, did he listen to it? He said, Pastor, we took him 3 of your CDs. I said, did he listen to them? He said, no, he just only listened to one. I said, why didn't he listen to the others? She said, he hadn't gotten to them yet. I said, well, what? He's listening to one? She said, yes, he's listened to it 11 times now. He said, every time he listens to it, something else comes out of it. I'm telling you, this stuff is loaded. When you got meat, you got to chew it, because something else is about to come out. Chew it again. Something else is about to come out. Chew it again. Something else. And I'm telling you, you will rise up to that spiritual person. And now people won't be able to affect you. They can call you a name and you won't even wink. Why? Because you know that ain't you. If they call you your name, if they call you by the name that God gave you, then you'll answer, say amen. You call him another name, he ain't gonna answer. Why are you gonna answer? You got to say the name Jesus. Woo! Let me just finish this now. Let me finish this. All right, I know it. I know what time it is. Can I just give you this? There are certain things that cannot be delivered to you until you grow. Daniel chapter 2. Did I tell you that? What did I tell you? Psalm 20. Oh, Lord. Boy, I'm telling you. Psalm 23. Look what it says in Psalm 23. Are you with me? I'm not there yet. Hold on. Praise God. This is good stuff. But we are not going to be some weak back Christians. We're not going to be some complaining bunch that are in the wilderness. Say amen to that. We're not going to be folks that are running down folks and talking about them behind their back and all that stuff. If you've done that, cancel that stuff in Jesus' name and thank God and say, Lord, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man to make it so that even in private, I will speak what thus saith the Lord. You're going to have to grow up. Listen, time is over for us to just have in church. We're going to have to go out there and hunt down some devils. And we're going to have to go out and set the captives free. Say amen to that. And we're going to have to start calling stuff too. Amen. We're doing things that angels should be doing. All right, look what it says here. And verse 23, chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will what? I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art where? With me, thy what? Rod and thy what? Staff. What they do? They comfort me. Hallelujah. Now, let's just go. I want to just show you a couple of things, because what I want to tell you is that what we're to do is understand that this power that's working, that angels are going to be working for us, and that this is a piece that is right on through the scriptures, that if you realize that it's not by might nor by power, but it's going to be by his spirit. Now understand that the devil has lost his power. When Jesus came up and raised from the dead, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to death and hell. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he then, according to Colossians chapter 2:15, he stripped the devil of everything that the devil had. The devil has no more power left. Now, all he has now is dirty tricks. He's trying to get you to curse yourself. He came and he kept messing with Job's mind, and pretty soon Job started fearing about his children might go into bondage or might be killed or whatever. And next thing you know, here comes a hurricane. It wiped out Job's business, wiped out everything, killed his kids. And Job was said to have said that the Lord giveth and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord didn't take that away. That was taken away by the devil. It was the same hurricane that was out on that water trying to sink that boat. I'm here to tell you that the enemy can't do it himself, because what I want to show you in Mark chapter 5 is that he had a channel over there he was using. He had a man that he was channeling power through, and that man was controlling that whole region. So Jesus is the only holder of real power. If the devil had any real power, he'd just kill you and get over with it. But he has no real power. There is therefore nothing called power left in the hands of the devil. In other words, only power that's available is the power that God has through Christ. Anything called power outside of God is a fake. And I'm here to tell you, there is no real power anymore outside of the power of God. Now, he's calling you to move into the areas of the impossible. Start calling things that be not as though they were. Start decreeing things and they shall be accomplished. Start believing you receive when you pray, and God will give you the manifestation of what you want. Don't bow down. Don't be of a mind that you'll get your feelings hurt and all that kind of stuff. Be aware of who you are, that you are seated with him in heavenly places. People can't do nothing to hurt you. They can't stop you. They can't touch you. Glory to God. So now, our job is to finish what he started. Is to finish to manifesting the sons of God here in this earth. Now, the last place I said I was going to take you was where? Do you remember? I told you this, the same way that the enemy had to respond to Jesus is the same way that he ultimately has to respond to you. And I looked at this in Mark chapter 5, and come on down to verse 7. And here's this man when he came, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice, saying, "What have we to do with thou, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that you torment me what? Not." For he said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered and said, "My name is who? My name is who? Legion, for we are what? Many." And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of that country. Here's a demon begging Jesus not to send him out of the country. David was fearless. What is our basis of fearlessness? Let's go to the root. And the root is when Adam and Eve sinned, and they said, and they lost the presence of God and said that I was afraid and I went and hid myself. Well, if we get the presence of God back, fear must go. I'm telling you, when you get over the fear of death, what some man can do to you. Folks, I'm just saying, I know it might be a little ways to get there. But if you just can remember that you don't have to rely on yourself to protect you. That the forces that God has placed around you and with you are enough to deliver you from any work of the devil. You know, I'm not going to say anymore, and the reason why is because this that I'm talking about is on another level. And I don't want to rush through it. I want you to get it. And I believe you got it. A strong word will produce a strong church. And the enemy is trying to get that word watered down and to ultimately stop us from being more than conquerors. But I'm telling you, I'm going to preach it until you do it. I'm going to stay with it. The last thing, training for reigning. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, just believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't try to feel it. Start right now, today. And I want you to take and read that scripture, Mark 11:24. 6 times a day for 6 days. Just that scripture. Where we're taking you now is into the impossible. You're going to leave the possible. This scripture is going to do it for us. I'm going to do that myself. Because we've gone beyond the sense realm now. We've gone beyond your feelings. You can't feel this.
Somebody just came up to me after last service. Said, Pastor, now I want you to tell me, I need you to lay hands on me that I can hear God. I know God is, I want to know if he's telling me to ta, 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 ta. I said, I don't need to lay hands on you. I said, why don't you just believe you receive when you pray? That's where I get these messages. I start out on Monday morning. Father, I thank you for Sunday's message. And I believe I received it. Now, did I feel anything?
No.
Did I panic when Tuesday came and nothing came?
No.
No, no. Because he promised me I shall have it. Folks, we're stepping out now. And it's the renewing of your mind that's going to take you the rest of the way. Because your mind don't think you know more than what you know. And when you get in this Bible right, you'll find out you don't know nothing. I mean, you just cracked the surface. I'm still listening to tapes. I listened back to in 1982. There's stuff still in there. I want you to really catch this. I saw Pastor or Bishop Dr. Herzog operating up here. And he was operating as a spiritual man. That's when he broke that power of those people lined up up here to get saved. That young teenage girl standing there flew backwards almost to that chair. That demon was coming out of her. Only through words. Are y'all following what I'm saying? This is where you're going. And Jesus obviously didn't raise his voice because he got to the grave of Lazarus and said he only said it loud so that they could hear it. You know, sometimes we think loud is power. That's that flesh talking again.
Help us out, please.
People came into church that time. The lady came in and said, I need some prayer. The deacons were standing around. Said, well, we let Deacon Jones pray for you. He said, no, I don't want Deacon Jones. I want Deacon Scott to pray for me. Said, well, why not Deacon Jones? Deacon Scott's got some strong prayer. Well, Deacon Scott didn't pray strong. He just prayed loud. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And you can pray any kind of way. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
You can pray with your eyes wide open or closed. Just because you got your eyes open looking at somebody don't mean you're not praying. I do it all the time. I look at folks and I know they need prayer. I say, Lord. Oh, yeah. But see, greater is he that is in you than he that is the world. Oh, yeah. Stop being self-conscious. Be God-conscious. Folks, there's stuff that's in you. Music is in you. Education is in you. Government is in you. New ideas are in you. Hey, look here. And wherever you are now, you just scratched the surface. That's from the Lord. You just scratched the surface. You can go much further than you're going right now. The world is looking for solutions. And they've gotten into a place where only the impossible can deliver them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
But you got the stuff.
manifesting the sons of God. Father, I pray that every person in the sound of my voice this week, that there be a notable miracle that you will work through them to let them know that the greater one is in them. And that if they will just decree a thing, that you will make it so. I bind those resisting spirits, those same spirits that Paul said, if I would have been here sooner, but Satan hindered me. Those spirits that are keeping them from their destinies. Those spirits that are causing storms in their house. Those spirits that are causing lack in their finances. Those spirits that have been sent there. I release the vengeance of the Lord on those spirits right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise that you alone are God. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me just say something. I didn't read this, but God spoke to me as I was talking. Read that story in 1 Samuel 17 of where David came and went up against Goliath. But start at the beginning and read how the leader, Saul, was fearful. God is raising up new leadership. And I want you to see what David said. He said, you've come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in one name, the name of the Lord of hosts. And this day, he will deliver you into my hand. Now, who's going to deliver? God was going to deliver. That's what Zechariah saw. Zechariah saw. He said, not by might. I'm preaching again. Nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. This is a thing that the church must get into, because Satan's trick is to try to pull us down into a human realm where we have to do something. No, the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. He just wants your permission to do it. Say amen to that. And no more fear. Say no fear.
No fear.
Say it again.
No fear.
One more time.
No fear.
No fear. We're done fearing. And I decree the presence of the Lord. David says, if I ascend in the heaven, you're there. Watch this. But if I make my bed in hell, you're there too. See, even when you're in your worst trouble, you have messed up royally. The covenant that Jesus made is he'll never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, the first step is to get born again. That's the first step.
Amen.
And if you're here, and God has spoken to your heart, and you know in your life that you're not...